Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've heard three different lessons. I'd like to concentrate particularly today on the lesson from Acts, from the first big church meeting that the Christians had to have. It is hard for people to change their minds. It's hard for all of us. We've all learned a lot of things. We learned things from our father and our mother and our grandparents, from our neighbors, from our teachers. And we often learned this is the right way or this is a good way to do something. And we ought to be doing it. We ought to hang right in there and keep on doing it. What happens when Jesus Christ enters the scene? Well, the Jewish people initially were waiting for a restoration of the land of Israel to a descendant of David. They were looking for a Messiah, a son of David who would become the king, who would rule, who would get rid of the Romans and all the foreign oppression. And as the people were waiting for all of that, they kept looking and wondering, will someone come? Many of them had given up. Many others had an idea that this one who was to come was going to have a sword in his hand, like King David did, and win a victory over all the oppressors. How are we going to get our land back? That was the promise to Abraham. And that was the way in which the entire Old Testament story is shaped. How do we get back the land that God promised to our ancestors? Well, the trouble was, God had something else up his sleeve. He had more up his sleeve. He didn't just want the people of Israel to have their land back. He wanted everyone back in the Garden of Eden, back in the relationship that he had made for all of us. And so just before the story of Abraham in Genesis 12, we find that in chapter 11 it talks about the mixing up of all the languages at the Tower of Babel, where God says, I am not going to let everybody talk the same tongue because then they will plot and strategize and they'll be able to accomplish things. I am going to frustrate them. And so anyone who has tried to learn a second or a third or a fourth or a fifth language, well, that's where it comes from, the arrogance of people who said, we on our own can make our own way. But then God says to Abraham in chapter 12, through you and your family, I'm going to bring a blessing to all nations. That's sometimes hard to remember when I just want the blessing for me. Just help me out, God. How many times haven't Christians and people of other religions, Jewish people, Muslims, said, I have lived my life honorably, and things haven't turned out as God promised me. Where is God in my suffering? Where is God when things are going wrong for me? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Kathy and I watched an episode of Blue Bloods the other night, and it was a Muslim guy who said, I'm giving up on my faith because God hasn't kept his promises. Well, what are God's promises? He promises to be with us always. He promises us that our sins are forgiven because Jesus died and rose for us. He promises us that the Spirit of God will guide and lead us into all truth. And he promises us that we are going to be in eternity with him in that restored Garden of Eden that we often call heaven. And it also talks about a new heavens and a new earth. And so we live in that hope. But as I heard somebody once say at a conference, we want it now. We don't want to wait. And so the trouble comes when we set up our own agenda of what we believe God ought to be doing for us, and if he doesn't do what we want, well then, he's a failure. we already have everything we're going to get: eternal life and complete peace with God. We are righteous because Christ has given us his righteousness. And thus, our life is not a whole series of performances for God so that he will love us, but living out the fact that he does. Well, the Jewish people who became Christian, they had some struggles with that because they had been used to doing certain things, whether it be the Sabbath laws or laws about kosher laws and what you would eat and when you would do this and that. And of all, the most important one, though not the only one, was that every male baby boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And thus, when Jesus rose from the dead and sent the disciples out to tell the story, they automatically thought everything has to be done according to the way we've always been doing it. This is the way God called us to be faithful. Well, now, what happens if people who are not Jewish and did not expect the law or the land to be returned, what happens if they become believers? Well, the Jewish people had a practice. Anybody could become Jewish. They would be circumcised, and then they would follow all the Jewish laws. They were called proselytes. It's probably a lot of them who became the first believers in Christ. But in essence, they said, first the Gentile becomes a Jew, and then a Jewish Christian. Now, Peter had already had the experience with Cornelius, right within the country, that he went to Cornelius and told him the story of salvation, and the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his family, and they became believers, and Peter baptized them right away. And then he had to appear before the fellow believers, even though we call him the leader of the church, to justify why didn't he circumcise all of them. Peter said the Holy Spirit fell on them, and that's what we really want, is that the Holy Spirit opens people's hearts to believe, and so we don't need to go through Judaism anymore. Well, the Jewish people who lived in the land, who became Christian, still followed the Jewish customs. And the Jews in Jerusalem, and James, the leader of the church who's mentioned here in the text, he's the one who says, we don't need to start acting as if we're not Jewish anymore. We can offer everything we are up to the Lord, and so we will worship, we'll still do the Sabbath laws and all the rest of that. And when Peter sees some Jewish Christians up in Antioch, he says, I'm going to protect them from getting in trouble back home by people who are saying, well, you've left the faith. And that's where he and Paul kind of get into a disagreement up in the city of Antioch. But Peter is not trying to deny the faith. He is simply saying, let's do the best we can to be good, honorable citizens. But some of the other Jewish Christians were bothered that the Gentiles, Peter going to Cornelius, Paul going to the jailer at Philippi, and to people throughout Turkey and Greece, weren't circumcising them. And one of Paul's big things is going to be, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Peter would say the same thing and says it here. He is the one who sounds very much like Paul in this first meeting. It's not a democratic meeting. It's not like we take a vote and decide what color we're going to paint a wall. It wasn't a democratic vote. It was, what's the Lord's will for us? And James, who is the leader of the church at this point, says, let's be as free as we can here. Let's allow the freedom of the gospel to go on. If the Holy Spirit has delivered someone to someone the benefits of Jesus dying and rising, and they are at peace with the Father thereby, let it be. So don't go laying on any kinds of things that we ourselves cannot obey. None of us are able to be at peace with God by what we do, whether it be circumcision or making sure that we follow the right kosher food laws. We've never been able to be perfect at it. Let's not bind someone else when we're not able to do it. We're free in Christ, and being Christian is not the same as being Jewish. Being Christian says the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about has come. God has changed our hearts inside. And thus, he says, well, there are a few things that we better make sure about. And so he says, first of all, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. Now, those are things that Gentile people did. Those are things. They went to idols' temples. They ate animals that had been offered up to the idols and other things like that. And they ate the blood and things like that, wherein people see the power of life. And so James says, let's not trouble anybody and put their head in a vise and start turning it. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You better be a good Christian. Well, very often we talk about good Christians and bad Christians. A person's either a Christian or an unbeliever. Everyone who is a Christian, whether or not all of their life matches it, and it ought to, but whether or not it does, everyone is saved by the grace of God. We are as well. We are to make sure that we don't tell people, here's what you ought to do, here's what you're supposed to do, here's what you better do, here's what God expects you to do, here's what God wants you to do, but here's what God enables you to do and enlivens you to do and encourages you to do. Here's what God has planted in your heart. And so we come to worship not to try to find out how to be a Christian, we're already, but to lay before God anything in our hearts that rebels against Him being our Lord and Savior, and that we go out in His name and look at people and say, there's someone He died for. How can I love them and help them hear that story or celebrate that we share that story together? And thus, look outward. So the Gentiles who had been doing the things about going to idols' temples and all of that, the Christians in Jerusalem simply say, make sure they are not hanging around all those places that they used to go to when they were doing that way of life. Just let them know there have to be some things that show different so that somebody might say, well, why don't you come to the temple anymore? Well, I worship Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. That you don't do so much like you used to do that people won't be able to find out something much more powerful and amazing is at work also in their neighborhood and in their community. And so Paul would go from place to place and he would tell that message. Peter did as well in the eastern part, northeastern part of Turkey, and Peter traveled as well. We remember them today because both of them lost their life. Well, now it gets personal. We willing to lose our life for all of this stuff? I hope so. Should we go looking for a way to get ourselves in trouble? No. But at some time or another, we need to stand up. We need to say, this is what I believe. And so to stay away from those things that the world considers fun, but that are really so much against the honoring of our Lord in our bodies and with what we do and what we say and what we think, that we are to stay away from those things so they don't get in the way of us telling the good news of salvation. And so it's not putting a pressure on them, but saying, be released from some of your old way of thinking. It's not going to help you get closer to the Lord anyway. You're as close as you're going to be, but so that people can know something's changed. I remember a lady who became a Christian while I was over at Jehovah. And she said, some of my friends don't want to be around me anymore, but all of them notice something's different in my life. it's not going to be long that somebody's going to notice that there are some things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. It's different for me. I grew up as a Christian, so there aren't those big kinds of alternate lifestyles that I've stepped away from, but some people will have that happen. Others will be able to say, my whole life long, I've been able to praise and honor and glorify the Lord. He hasn't abandoned me, and thus I rejoice that I can stay faithful to Him. So we look at what Peter and Paul did. They were faithful to their Lord. They honored Him. And at a time when Nero said, I want to stop that, he put them to death. Well, they're still in their graves. Only Jesus is out of his. But we will see them as well. And we will rejoice with them that being faithful to the Lord and proclaiming His glory is something that lasts forever and ever. And He has that for all of us. And He has it for everybody else in our family, in our neighborhood, the people we work with, the people that we don't know, and the people we know and are frustrated with. And so come to the Lord in prayer, bring others before Him, ask that either you or somebody else can bring them that peace and that joy. It's not to put burdens on people, but to take the burdens of a foolish, wrong-headed way of life away. May God give us all the strength to be proud, to stand firm and tall as His people. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.